Tales is brought to you by EXO Auto Works, Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Includes up to 5 quarts and standard filter. Additional oil and specialty filters extra. Includes tire rotation and vehicle inspection. Also, $225 front or rear disc brakes. Includes new pads and rotors. Applies to most vehicles. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital-analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. They have all the tools to help you with your audio and production needs, from tracking demos to full CD productions, reamping, mixing, mastering, and more. Want your VHS to DVD or your old cassettes and records to CD? They do that too. Whatever your needs, they can help. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios and let them know you found out about them through Man Tools for a special discount. Madrid Maintenance. Besides being our partner for Give Mom a Hand, our community outreach program, Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, like sprinklers, light fixtures, electrical, plumbing, disposal and softener installs, drywall, doors, paint, flooring and tile, appliance installs, and more, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-963-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Tell them Mantool sent you for a special discount. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products. They have items you won't find anywhere else, like their heated beard comb and Viking Sea Mineral Mud Mask. I also use their beard wash and conditioner on a regular basis to keep my beard clean, shiny, and manageable. And my wife loves the Viking Storm scent. So you should head over to thebeardstruggle.com and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order.
Shit in Spanish. This is America. We have a national language. Everyone check your fucking self, because America does not have a national language.
Funny how it's Father's Day and we just talk about moms. So we just get drawn into it. We just can't.
To me, the idea of taking a child through a sex change to begin with is just nuts.
I think I'm going to go out and go out here on a limb and speak for all the ladies.
Walk down the hill and I'll call them head first.
There you go.
Take me out.
Stay solar.
Man Tools.
Hi, everybody. So Eric should be here momentarily.
Yep.
I hear the dogs barking. I was going to put in a cardboard cutout type image here. I think I'm going to start doing that whenever he's not here. he is. I hear him coming down the stairs right now. Well, welcome to Man Tools. We're glad to have you. It's always a pleasure to chat with you fine folks on the internet. Yep, I hear him coming right now. Thump, thump, thump. That's his footsteps. There he is. See, I told you. He'd be here.
Don't wait for me.
Hey, we have a strict time slot.
Man, that tools is, 30.
That is our spot on that transmitter.
That's
we got to use it.
Yeah. That's all we get.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Just work.
Yep.
Just work. So how's the beard struggle going?
Good. I'm glad you brought that up. I just got this. This is their Gentleman's Beard Balm. And I gotta say, it is a game changer. I've used other beard balms in the past, and most of the time my big complaint is that they're too like solid and hard, but this is actually kind of malleable and you can actually get some out easily.
Like chunks in your
yeah.
face.
And yeah. And of course, take a smell.
That, it's not like overly,
that Viking Storm mm-hmm. scent.
It's not overly pungent.
Yeah. So, the only thing I think I'm missing from my beard routine now is the heated beard comb. That's yeah. rather expensive. And in this day and age, contrary to popular belief, when you have some kind of product endorsement, you don't just get shit for free.
No, not this day and age.
You get a discount and a commission on the stuff that you get other people to buy. And that's about it. So
it's true, though. It's kind of fair. I think the getting, you know, whatever employee pricing is pretty,
yeah.
pretty chill.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing work for them, so, yeah. you know.
That's how I feel when I go to, every time I go to Home Depot and I have a self-checkout line. I should be employee of the month by now.
Yeah, you should you should totally get an employee discount. I don't know if they're doing with this with all orders, but my order, I don't know if you can see that very well. They sent this this cool, you know, everybody's got these little rubber bracelets or whatever. But this says FU Cancer. I guess you can kind of read it. So it's a and I believe some of the proceeds on stuff is going to some cancer charities, so yeah.
Oh, their beard comb?
The heated one or the regular
one?
The
heated one. That one actually seems to work.
I've seen some knockoffs, and
yep. If you guys ever try the one that's white with the blue paddle, if you see that anywhere and it says, oh, it's super sale, you'll buy yours today, don't do it.
Yeah.
That thing doesn't work, and it lasted for about 3 days. So beware of that one.
And you're likely to burn a patch off.
Honestly,
using a knockoff.
Yeah. You're likely that it's won't, because that one won't even turn on. The beard struggle one has the tines in it.
Yeah.
Which I think actually would work.
Yep. Yeah, so how's your week, buddy?
Dude, it's been nutty. We had Snowmageddon.
Yes, we did.
Which is, I guess, good for, you know, our firefighters that are doing some crazy shit
yeah.
in the mountains right now. So hopefully that helped out a little bit, contain some of the blazes. And but I had, because of the temperature drop, I had all of the sprinkler clients lose their goddamn minds.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, our stuff's gonna blow up.
Everyone I work with who has a sprinkler system was freaking out a little. Well, a little bit. Most of the guys I work with are like retired military, so they don't freak out
no.
for much. They were just kind of like, I gotta go open up the valves, and you know,
uh-huh.
I probably won't be able to blow it out, but hopefully it won't freeze. And
yeah, that's everybody. I said, just open it up in the house. Don't let it be pressurized. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, and the flip is, in a week or two, it's going to be 90 again, and you're going to want to water again. So.
Well, I have two clients that have newer sod, so it's only been a month. That stuff's not going to take yet. So we got another month of watering. And, folks, you do have to water your grass in the wintertime. Especially here in Colorado, where it gets super dry. We're in a desert. A high mountain desert. So... once a month, you're going to have to get out there and hand water it. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawn maintenance and beard care, things that grow.
There you go.
I wonder if the beard comb would work on the lawn. I just really get that thing going.
Well, we have a great show for you guys. I recently sat down and talked with to a couple of gentlemen, Chris and Marin, although I'm butchering his first name. He's a Dutch fellow, and he said close enough for an American, so we just rolled with that. From Beyond Binary Thinking podcast, they have an interesting concept for their show. We talked a bit about naming podcasts and how sometimes part of the name is not just to attract listeners, but to alienate the ones that you don't want in your audience, you know?
We did very well.
Yeah, so did they. Because like most people, I immediately thought, oh, these are some people that think there's 42 genders, and that's not at all what's going on.
Right.
It's, there's more to life than black and white or left and right is kind of the idea. Yeah.
I've the beauty of gray.
Yeah.
I've said that a
exactly.
lot.
Exactly.
I think ever since I've known you.
So, yeah. So, got to sit down and talk to them. Really cool dudes. You'll notice, I'm not going to spoil it. You'll see it. There's a spot where I'm an idiot and it's,
did you pull a Trevor?
I did. Yeah. It's very obvious. I put in some subtitles to tell you who I was thinking about when I put my foot in my mouth to, and tried to sound like I knew exactly what I was talking about. And they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You dumb American.
Oh, I can't wait.
But before we get to that, we, of course, it's not quite a mid roll, I guess.
No,
but it's, I didn't want to interrupt the interview with this, so we're going to do it now and tell you how much we love EXO Auto Works. As always, Mantles is brought to you by our friends at EXO Auto Works. They are, of course, Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change, but that is not all they do. They do a bunch of services, and I just noticed this on their website. These fixed price car service packages could be just the ticket if you need to just know exactly how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, for those maintenance things.
Yeah. Oil change, brake fluid pads and rotor replacements, engine coolant flush and replacements. So, that's the way to go if you need to know this is how much it's going to cost to do this.
$225 for brakes, rotors, and fluid per axle. That's a deal.
Yeah.
Last time I did brakes, it was $500 for just the back end.
Yikes.
I know. That's because EXO wasn't around yet.
Or we didn't know about them.
No, literly. It's been so long since I've done the brakes. I pulled up front of your house. It's like, yeah! Sound like pterodactyls fucking in the when I stopped.
Oh, and Michael from EXO says, we love you too. He's making a brake video as we speak.
Remember, safety third, buddy.
And the other thing too is check out their YouTube channel. They're trying to grow that and expand that, doing some cool stuff. Be sure to check that out. I'll get with Michael later and make sure I have the address correct, and we'll throw it into the description. But they also do, beyond those services, fleet services, fluid services, repair services, and much, much more. And they work on every make and model, including high mileage cars, and they offer a 24,000 mile, 2-year nationwide warranty. So call EXO today tomorrow when they're open.
You can leave a message. Get at their website, exoautoworks.com. And if you check out their, there's the fixed pricing stuff. And then if you look at their blog, there's all the links, I think. All their cool videos.
But call them at 719-375-3232. Or, like Eric said, go to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment. With that, I guess we'll get into the interview.
Let's do that. I mean, we can. I have other stories.
Stories.
I got talked about Mantools this week from one of our fevered listeners, I guess you'd call them.
Well, let's do the interview and then we'll talk about that after.
Yeah, sounds okay. Good. All right. See, keep you hanging.
Here we go. Beyond Binary Thinking. All right, please welcome from the Beyond Binary Thinking podcast, Chris and Marin.
Thanks for having us, Trevor. Thank Absolute you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
I feel I need to clear the air first because I was it you I was talking with on Reddit?
Probably.
Yeah, I had a little bit to drink, and I think I opened the conversation with "Come fight me," which was perhaps not the best international diplomacy move for the British.
Well, and my I think my response was, "I'll be happy to argue with you."
I even want to dial it down a notch from that. So to be honest, having had your podcast, I'm a big fan. I think we're going to disagree on some things. But the world doesn't need two people shouting at each other, not listening again. So I'd actually really like to open this up to a more positive and constructive conversation and genuinely like hear you out and listen to your side and where we disagree, like that's okay. Like and learn from that experience. Yeah. So.
Well, I've listened to at least portions of several episodes of your show. And I'm curious about the name because guessing it was intentional to conjure certain reactions, possibly to alienate people you don't want and draw in the audience that you do want. I mean, obviously, like even our podcast has a name that when people hear it, they make assumptions, sure. And some of that is on purpose. So I'm curious about the name because I of course immediately, like I think most people do, thought of non-binary gender. But it's more you guys are exploring the nuance, the fact that the world isn't black and white.
Right, or left and right. And I think people, for obvious reasons, get into these sports teams, right? Like I'm a member of this tribe and everyone that disagrees with me is wrong and racist and an idiot and needs to leave the country sort of argument. And I understand why. I very much believe we're still cavemen. Trapped in a space age, right? it just hurts. And it's just obvious that not always, but when you actually sit down and have a beer with someone, even if they might vote differently to you, despite what the political pundits and talking heads say, there is a lot of common ground. And it always bothered me, actually, as an independent thinker, the idea that if I know what you feel, which color you vote for, I can guess how you feel about abortion and foreign aid and military intervention and all of these 100 different issues. A lot of people are quite comfortable just getting put in one of two buckets, right? Like, you feel the same way about these 18 other policy issues. And that's not actually how most people think. So we're just trying to explore the nuance. I think sometimes we debate, sometimes people think we're a centrist show. So we'll like have someone left on, have someone right on, and we'll be like, oh, but let's just be friends. It's not even about that. I just think it's never as simple, as you said, as black and white. And so this, I went into your show having some assumptions and then listening to it, I've realized that you do explore some nuances. So let's get into it. Before I make any assumptions, why don't you describe to me what your show is to you and your listeners?
Well, let me tell you how the show kind of started first. My co-host actually wrote a book intended to be a guide for single moms raising boys, which presents a very specific challenge. He was raised by a single mom, but luckily she found the Boy Scouts for him. And so he had something to kind of channel that masculine male aggression into that was more constructive. And then later he started working as a handyman is the best description. He does like remodeling and stuff like that, contracting type work. And he started to see that a lot of the guys that he would try to get jobs with him, he was running his own business, didn't know a screwdriver from a wrench and that sort of thing. And the pattern that he saw with a lot of these guys was that they were raised by just a mom, and he kind of went, well, I was raised by just a mom, but what's different about what happened with me? And so he wrote the book. The book did not get published. This was back when you had to actually go to a publisher and couldn't self-publish. He later got a job with a radio station, and part of his contract was he wanted to have a radio show. This was an internet radio station. So he started doing Man Tools, and that was the title of the book as well. I got kind of swept up into it. I'm actually the second co-host that he had, but I'm the one that stuck, I guess. The radio station kind of folded, and we started doing things ourselves as a podcast. So, I like to call us a men's issues, media outlet, because I tend to shy away from the term men's rights. And also, we're not necessarily activists, which is a term that you'll see sometimes on the internet, men's rights activists.
Yeah, and I think before we get into the men's rights movement, I think too many people are quick to label themselves activists. Sure. Short-term slacktivist, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Board warriors, you're like, you're not really very active for an activist.
No. Neither of us are definite. I can't imagine a scenario where you could see either me or Eric, my co-host, marching with a fucking sign, you know, or anything like that. Our goal is to make content that first off, shed some light on, like I said, men's issues, not necessarily rights that men don't have, which, I mean, that's a legal thing. Number one, rights are a legal thing certainly in the US, and I think most of what I would call the Western world, I can't think of a right that a man has that a woman doesn't, or vice versa. You know what I mean? Generally under our legal system, there's not anything that women can do that men aren't allowed to do, or that men can do that women aren't allowed to do.
I like it. Okay. So
yeah.
Before I do the obvious and radio talk show battle you, let's see where we agree, right? So okay, I think that often well-educated middle-class white women complaining about how hard their lives are, you know, you understand why they're not always met with the sympathy they feel they deserve. They're probably quite a privileged class by definition, right? And to the average working class person, anyone that's been through any struggles, terms like privilege, right, the masculine privilege, the patriarchy, toxic masculinity, yeah, you see why that rubs people the wrong way. So my background is marketing, and I think often where these terms come from is quite academic, right? It's someone studying women's studies or gender studies, and yeah, none of us have enough time in the day to study that sort of thing. So I can see why they're controversial and upsetting. I can feel the feminists furiously getting on Twitter right now. So hear me out, ladies. I think the flip side of that coin, to be fair and to give their due, is that I think it's one thing to discuss it at an academic level. I think what they actually mean is quite nuanced, and you probably wouldn't disagree with it if you heard the argument out. So you're familiar with the term straw man, right?
Sure, yeah.
And I feel what sometimes happens, like the reason we heard of toxic masculinity and privilege was from right-wing talking heads announcing how stupid this idea was. That was my first... I actually said the first time I heard of the Black Lives Matter movement was, I think, Ben Shapiro talking about how stupid the Black Lives Matter movement was. And I think we sometimes get this straw man impression of these arguments from people quite quick to shoot them down. Does that make sense to you?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So I think I've argued with a few feminists who've, you know, been quite angry by the idea of me as a man telling them what they experience as a woman. And I've tried to point out, but you do know that that happens quite a lot with men. We're quite often told that we're bad and we're wrong and our masculinity
is
negative. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It cuts both ways.
Yes, absolutely. But like I said, that's why I try to shy away from, I don't know if shy away is quite the word. I don't try to go down the men's rights rabbit hole, because it's a ridiculous premise that there is somehow things that under the law. And again, once you start saying the word rights, that's where you're going, is into some kind of legal. Is there anything that a woman has a right to do that a man doesn't? And it's like, not under our system of government. They can, women can pretty much get into any job that they're qualified for. Same thing with men. Now you get into some things where, I guess, some industries like modeling and film, obviously they can cast based on gender and race and things like that. But you don't hear much outcry. Well, I shouldn't say that, because recently you have heard a lot of, there's not enough people of color involved in the film industry, which that may be a legitimate argument.
Well, I watched Black Panther for the first time like last week, because the main actor died, unfortunately. Yeah. That finally prompted me to watch it, and I was amazed by how I recognized every single actor in it. You realize how small the roster is. You're like, I know all of these guys.
Yeah. But I think that speaks to, Jordan Peterson brings this up a lot, that there seems to be a problem where people have an expectation for equality of outcome as opposed to an equality of opportunity. And they seem to think that if there's this percentage of this segment of the population in general, that should automatically translate into every occupation, every hobby, and that's just not how that's going to work out. You're never going to make it work out that way. And the attempts to do so seem to be more destructive, I think, than constructive.
So if you thought I was going to debate on this, you might be surprised. I have looked into it, and it's three white guys talking about feminism. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be taken with a pinch of salt by
or ivory tower
by the guys who've got our back. I think if you deep dive into the numbers, there's a few obvious things, like women aren't paid less than men for the same job. That doesn't really happen, and that's not what the figures show. What it does show is that for society or biology or for whatever reason, there is more pressure on a woman when kids come to take a break from work, and men don't do that as much. And which is why I'll propose sometimes like enforcing paternity leave. Like, make, if you're going to give women time off, make men take time off too. Like, I think things like can stop the wage gap. Like, could really help. Because as you said in the example, like, I think it is tough for a young man to be raised without a male role model. Now, sometimes that's through completely no father figure. But sometimes it's just that, in my case, where the dad's away working so much that you barely see him.
Sure, yeah.
So they actually did that in the Netherlands just recently. They went from 3 days paternity leave to 3 weeks paternity leave. Which is okay, but 3 days is horrible still where we were just half a year ago, right? 3 days where your child is born, you hardly even get to see your own child.
Yeah. Now, is that mandatory that it be taken? Because I think that's what Chris was saying, was kind of it's not an option. You're going to be off from this date to this date once you say, I'm going to have a kid. Yeah.
Ooh, I wouldn't know if it's mandatory. I think it's still voluntary.
Okay, yeah.
But at least it's now an option, whereas before it wasn't even an option.
Right, yeah.
Or if you had holiday days, sure, but if you don't have any vacation days anymore that you can sacrifice for it.
Now, see, in the States, they don't mandate a lot of that stuff. In fact, I actually am a federal government employee. I work for the Air Force here. One example that I was kind of surprised by is, I guess our military now has gone to, regardless of which parent you are, this is the amount of time that you're going to, and it's not necessarily mandatory, but this is the amount of time that we're going to allow you to take I forget what they call it, because they don't even specify maternity and paternity anymore because of this. It's like childbirth leave, and that's it, you know.
So it's gender neutral there.
It just seems healthy, yeah. Then, yeah. Right? And I worry if it's optional, then I can see an employer kind of being like frowning on it and being like, okay, but we'll see you for the sales meeting on Thursday, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, yep.
I if you leave it optional, sure. there's very few employers that would be like, okay, yeah, that's
fine. I've worked at some places that kind of have the, it reminds me of the pieces of flair scene from Office Space, if you remember that. Well, yeah, 50 is the minimum, but come on.
Yeah, and that's what I worry, right? Like, where you leave the free market to decide it, the theory is that people are free to go work for a nicer boss, but what ends up happening, and you see this, like, in Europe where you have stricter labor laws, you have a lot longer holidays, a lot happier people, sort of people have a lot more time with their families, right?
Right, yeah. Now, this may surprise you. I'm not necessarily opposed to a lot of that things within what I would call the European model. My position, at least in the U.S., is that they're not practical for our federal government to do because we're such a large country. I think a lot of them would work on a state level where, you know, if Colorado wanted to, say, pass some of these similar labor requirements and restrictions, absolutely. But I don't think it works for our federal government to do kind of cookie cutter policies.
Okay. So you're not a libertarian fundamentalist, right? But you don't believe one size fits all because.
Definitely yeah. not. No. In fact, I try to stress whenever I spell out, when I'm talking about my own politics, I make it a point to use a small L and a small C when I say I'm conservative leaning or libertarian leaning. And I try to say the word leaning because I don't fit into an absolute for any of that. I generally like to think of myself as someone who can look at policies and go, well, this is stupid, even if, you know, regardless of what party came up with it, or this is great, even if it came from, you know, a party that I may not generally agree with, which I think is, despite what the media and the internet would have you believe, is how most people approach their lives, you know. I think that's something that we get bombarded with. Well, you have to pick a side, or you have to, you know, it's left or right, that's it. And that's just ridiculous.
But the funny thing is that even though everyone thinks that they're deciding based on rationale and logic thinking, we still have a 50-50 split either way with most issues, right?
Yeah, we do.
So everyone thinks they're on the right side, but in the end, we're still divided with their own righteous.
The big thing, though, is in a two-party state, right? Like when you live in a thing where you only get to vote once every 5 years for red or blue, then yeah, things kind of have to be split down the middle.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I'm curious how much of that boils down to people buying the lesser of two evils argument that oftentimes gets thrown. You know, if perfect example here in the States, I don't know if you realize this, but we don't actually, under the law, have a two-party system. It's just that they seem to have monopolized our system. Well, so
what always happens, right? And this is why I was interested with you as a libertarian. Right? Jordan Peterson talks about this himself, right? The Pareto law, the effect of power. It's like gravity, right? Mm-hmm. Like things just tend to, the powerful get more powerful. And that's where you end up in trouble. So I think the reason we have the two-party state is the same reason we have big corporations running everything.
Right. Yeah. Which is like, you know, a perfect example of what's going on lately is I consider myself a free speech absolutist. I don't think the state has any business trying to protect anyone's feelings.
I'm going to deep dive on that. Now, so I used to define myself as a free speech absolutist, but what about inciting race riots? shouting well, fire in a crowded movie theater, like where there must everyone draws a line somewhere.
Because that's always an example that gets brought up to me, and here's my point of view on that. I don't necessarily think it should be a crime to yell fire in the auditorium, but that person should be billed for every ticket that was sold. They should be billed for the emergency responders that had to show up, and there should clearly be a responsibility and a burden on their part. I don't know that they should be imprisoned or. I don't know.
So if I'm Ayatollah Khomeini standing on the in my mosque telling everyone to go outside and kill everyone, as long as I pay the invoices that come my way, I'm fine.
No. I was getting very specific on the shouting fire.
Okay. There's a line somewhere, right? Yes,
absolutely.
There's always a line somewhere.
Yeah. That's a tough one because that guy may be saying that. For example, Charles Manson never killed anybody. He never stuck a knife into anybody, never pulled a trigger, but his words appeared to have convinced everyone around him that that was a great idea, and they all did it, and now he's, he recently died, but he spent the rest of his life in prison.
They probably rarely get their hands dirty. They just paid the guy to do it.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where I don't necessarily know where that line is.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you've skirted past the line if you think that's okay. I'm quite confident that is past the line.
But I don't know. See, I don't know when it comes to like the law, because he from what I understand, the crimes that he was convicted of, he shouldn't have received a life sentence, but they just made sure that motherfucker stayed in jail because they recognized that he was dangerous. Now, I don't know. I certainly couldn't come up with a good argument for letting Charles Manson roam free. So you got me.
So actually, there's two very interesting examples of exactly what you're talking about going on in or happened in the Netherlands. One of which is the fire argument. There was a person we had at a World War II remembrance every year in Amsterdam on the big square, and they put flowers near a monument to remember the soldiers that died. And one person shouted, I don't remember what he shouted, but he shouted something which led to a mass stampede of people, right? So everyone trying to get out, trampling over each other. And I think he got sentenced to court, but to prison, but not for a very long time. But, you know, here they found the fines not enough. And this Friday, very, very interestingly, there's going to be a court decision on a case against Geert Wilders.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that.
For those that aren't, can you give a quick summary?
Yeah, he's one of the progenitors of Swedish black metal and was involved in murdering and burning down some churches.
No, he's not.
Well documented. You can.
I was thinking of Varg Vikernes, who's not even Swedish, he's Norwegian. So I just stuck my foot.
I'm sorry. That's not who I'm thinking of. You're talking about the. He was a EU parliamentary.
He should be a celebrity.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now this is a politician in the Netherlands, and he's part of a nationalist party in the Netherlands. And in 2014, he had what Trump does, the speeches with a lot of people there.
Oh, a big rally.
Yeah, rally. And he said on a rally, he asked the crowd, do we want more or less Moroccans in the Netherlands? And he had people shouting, less Moroccans, less Moroccans, less Moroccans, like chanting this. And since 2014, so it's been 6 years now, they've been trying to convict him for inciting hate and discrimination. And this is for Holland, a very famous case in like, where does the line for free speech lies, right? Can you incite a crowd to want to just like remove a certain public of the Netherlands? A certain ethnic...
Now, we've disagreed on this in the past, Marang, because for me... that's a debate about immigration. I would fall on the line of free speech there and say you can hate it, you can argue it, but it doesn't seem to be let's kill them, let's hurt them. It's just right. I would like less of them here, which seems okay. Not a position on immigration I necessarily agree with, even, but I would defend someone's right to have a controversial wrong opinion.
Right. So if you're looking at death threats are not really being prosecuted much. There's too many of them online anyway. But people getting bombarded with legitimate sometimes, or probably not legitimate, but you know, the threat of violence against them, murder violence, killing violence, it's not something that's necessarily trials.
So it sounds like a lot of what, not just Trump, but a lot of what a lot of politicians in other countries say would be illegal in the Netherlands. Is that right?
Well, I think free speech is very much upheld, and it's only when it comes to actions that that's really an issue. I don't know what the court decision is going to be on Friday, but I can imagine, Chris, that what they're going to decide is, yeah, that it is a political opinion that he has, and there was no assignment for anyone to go have any violence against someone else.
Okay. That's often like this and the political talking heads, they frame it as a war on free speech, and what it actually is lawyers and judges, and in the end, sense will prevail, and the judge will decide, no, it's not illegal, right? Like, there was a big case recently with Ben Shapiro, and he tried to sue a university because they put him in a different room than he thought he'd be in on the campus. Have you read this news story?
No,
I haven't. So he tried to sue the university for, you know, hindering his free speech. And it was a pretty, you know, the sort of case that was whipped up by Breitbart. Oh, the university banned his free speech. When you look into it, you're like, they just said, look, this room is more secure than the main room. It's slightly smaller, but you have, last time you went on campus, you caused, you know, a $600,000 fee for security and damages right. by the protesters. So... so sorry, guys, but we're going to move you to a different room. And he tried to sue, and he's clearly a better talking head than he is a lawyer because he lost the lawsuit.
yeah. No, I hadn't read about that, but I have. He's come up in the news a number of times for particularly universities either canceling his events at the last minute or similar things. And back to the. I guess back to the kind of inciting something with that politician you were talking about earlier. I'd be curious, could they point to anyone actually being harmed because he said those words? You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Numbers of people, you know, being... I guess that would be something that the courts... would that would be what they would be looking at is
and that's the line.
Can anyone
I think
point to damage
on both
caused?
Sides? That's the line we draw in the sand, right? Like, has anyone been hurt? No, then okay. The problem I think we all face is that there is an industry of people whose job it is to make mountains out of molehills, right? Like stir storms in teacups and do the straw man thing. Like, it's just really lazy journalism when you see someone be like, oh, look, someone stupid is angry on Twitter about this thing. You're like, that's not news. Like, if you've been on Twitter, there's someone angry about anything.
there are many examples, but I think it's another example of kind of the double-edged sword that is the internet. Because of the internet, your kind of, I guess, legacy, news outlets, TV, print, those sorts of things have started losing huge market shares. And so they've made the transition to online, but now they're like, well, we basically need clickbait to get people to CR ads, which is where they make their money. So they need headlines where sometimes once you start reading the article, the headline has very little, if anything, to do with the meat of the article. And it's just, it's all about views. They want whoever they can get to look at their product, and therefore get an ad in their face from somebody that's paying them.
Yeah. And I see this on both sides. So like, this is, you know, the whole premise of the podcast and everything we do. I think both sides are equally guilty about it. It's been really frustrating for me, watching in my country, anyone that, supports any conservative policy whatsoever, or anything they do, is just branded as a racist idiot. And it's that funny thing where, you know, seeing it from the European, which is probably left of your news, with most of its perspective anyway. Yeah, I've just laughed at, oh God, yeah, Bush, and then Trump. Oh, no, ridiculous, everything they do. But I've also, you know, seen the holes in that argument, right? Like the idea that, you're either with us or you're racist and stupid. Is the worst advertising campaign a political party can ever do. And I really think if you're a Democrat, blue and true, right, you just have to realize that you're not persuading anyone by calling everyone a racist idiot.
No, and I here's what I really don't understand, is that that seemed to be kind of what happened in 2016. But they're trying it again. And it's like, do you not realize that this was your pitfall 4 years ago? Why don't you try? Let's do a different tactic.
I know why. And this is why it's really interesting talking to my friends who are left of the Democrat Party. Right. And I don't know how you feel about AOC, for example. We'll get into that in a second. But I don't believe either the Democrat or the Republican Party represents the majority of the citizenry's interest. I think they represent the corporations that sponsor them.
Sure.
And most of those corporations pay both sides. Like, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
We know this to be true. Right? Like, after the last recession, Goldman Sachs, who were partly responsible for the economic crash, then got given more power. So I completely understand people who voted for Trump and believed his promise to drain the swamp. I actually entirely sympathize with that. I entirely sympathize with the idea that Hillary, Goldman Sachs, Blackwater, Lockheed Martin, Clinton was not going to represent their interests, and it was just going to be more of the same. But my question at this point is, what part of the swamp has Trump drained? Because he's mostly got his family involved. It seems to resemble North Korea at the moment.
Well,
son-in-law is that's running a good question. Half of the government at this point.
No, he's I should say officially he's an advisor. I don't know how much of what he says just goes with, you know, everyone else there. He may be the de facto chief of staff. I don't know.
I mean, he's fired so many people. I'm not sure what staff he's leading at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. The other question, I guess, is he failing to drain the swamp, but making an attempt, and we just don't see that? Or he got in there and he's like, fuck it, I can't do this.
Participation trophy?
No, I'm not saying that. But, you know, is it that the attempt's being made and it's just not a possible task? Or is it that he didn't even try when he got there? And I don't know which is the right answer. Cause like you said, I don't see any swamp draining. The only thing that I can, at least recently, that I could point to, that's where it's like, especially in this climate, the left leaning Democratic Party, once you get into facts, they don't have much to stand on, is talking about criminal justice reform. Obama was in there for 8 years and did none of that. And Trump did get some legislation done that vastly reformed sentencing guidelines and some other things that result in many more or many less, I should say, people of color being in prison for petty bullshit, which is what one thing that he, you know, he's never going to get kind of public credit for, which points to the dishonesty going on with the left side that's supporting Black Lives Matter and Antifa, but then saying he's the enemy, even though he's doing stuff like that.
So you do see it. Like, I noticed, you know, Trump definitely has made some massive missteps towards the BLM movement, and he's been a bit behind the curve on things. But then, like, later on, once the cycle gets going and the lazy press is like, okay, this is the story, we're running with it. I saw a story yesterday where you're like, yeah, it was just a non-story. You know what I mean? Once the cycle goes and you're like, this is the story we're running with, this is the narrative we're running with, you're with us or you're racist, right? Like, but I mean, I'd like to drill down on that, though, because I do remember Obama pushing to end the war on drugs and petty legislation. And what often happens with government is it's quite slow to act. Specifically did Trump do? You know, I don't need you to provide all sources. I get this format. But no. What's your impression?
My understanding was that he secured the votes in Congress for it to pass and then signed it into law. Which is something that Obama couldn't seem to get done. And now
the Republicans were dragging their feet at every point when the other two houses, right?
Oh, that's a potential argument. Sure. That's what I was going to bring up, was that the other argument is that you have a completely different House of Representatives and Senate now than you did, at the tail end of, Obama's term. So that certainly makes a difference. I don't know how much. I haven't dug into like the math of the votes that he could have got. I also don't know if the legislation was even brought up when he was.
So what was it when Obama
was
even
actually pushed forward?
The other houses were so ineffective at voting anything through. I think they got more done than there's this famous historical period where everything was closed. And I think they were still more effective because they were just resisting Obama at every point. They were playing politics, like gerrymandering, like filibustering, all the bullshit. So that's the counter argument. It's like, it just seems a bit disingenuous for Republicans to be like, but this is the funny thing is that I think you always get more done with a Republican with his heart in the right place.
Well, I mean, the problem...
Because they can push more through, right?
I think it's also, well, you're so divided that cooperation is not in the vocabulary anymore. It's so much competition that here in the Netherlands, we have the benefit of having a more distributed house of government with some parties on the right, some parties on the left, some parties in the middle. And sometimes we have an election where a large part of the country vote on one right party on the right side of the balance, and the other large part of the country votes on the left side to one party. So you get two big parties. And we had a situation where neither of the two parties could make a government on their own, so they made a government together. Right? So the public still voted left and right separately, and it was still divided, but then the parties still had to cooperate to make a government work. And they made an effective government.
Well, that is something that's missing from our system, which the British and Europeans clearly have, is the ability to make what's known as a coalition government. We can't do that. It's you're either the other flip to that, though, is how your elections work. From what I understand, under the British system, is that the prime minister is elected first as a member of parliament. And that's not, you know, as obviously Trump was never in politics before, so he just became the president.
Well, you can have a president, a minister president, even here that has no experience in politics. It wouldn't be really common for that to be a leader of a party. But, you know.
Oh, it's coming. You're going to have an Instagram model filling the role, real soon.
Maybe. Yeah. But, you know, in America, as long as Republicans and Democrats can't even consider to be in the same coalition, which is the coalition to run the government and run the country, it's always going to be a very difficult situation, I think, to solve things. And maybe the solution is to have more of a state-divided government again.
Yeah, I mean, we can negotiate policy and things, but... Let's be honest here. The reason why there's no reaching across the aisle is the Republican Party has no interest whatsoever in collaborating with Democrats on anything, right? That's Mitch McConnell's scorched earth policy.
Oh, I think the opposite, though, is true, too. I don't think Pelosi and those guys will do any reaching across the aisle about anything either.
For example? What would you like them to...
Oh, I don't have an issue offhand that I can think of, but I was going to point out that at one time, obviously this was a long, long time ago, the Republican Party was our third party. We used to have the Whigs and the Democrats, I'm curious to see if we're, you know, the political landscape then was kind of coming to a head. And what seemed to burst forth was what we now call the GOP, and Lincoln was kind of the figurehead of that party, of course, when he became president. But I'm curious, I guess we'll just have to wait and see if something like that happens again, where maybe some kind of third party bursts onto the scene that people go, oh shit, these guys actually maybe have my best interest at heart. Surprise.
I hope so.
The red and the blue.
Because I got to be honest, like I've been listening to a phenomenal podcast about how likely a civil war is to break out in the US, and it's filled me with despair.
Obviously Lincoln being elected did not prevent that war.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're not going to get too deep in the weeds of political machinations. I think something fun to talk about. I'm going to have to hold you to task on this. Why are you guys anti-mask? Like, come on. Really?
I'm number one. In fact, I think it may have been a British study that I was just reading about that said, the quote was that there's actually no compelling evidence either way. So to mandate masks with no compelling evidence either way, I think is, to put a point on it, statist bullshit. And our episode, if you watch that, the conclusion was to go ahead and comply, just be malicious about it. Because you're just going to ruin the day as some poor Walmart greeter. You're not going to actually stick it to the man by not wearing your mask.
So,
can I ask, right? As an alternative to the mask, would you agree with mandatory distancing?
You mean mandated by the state?
Social distancing.
Mandated by the government. Social distancing.
I don't approve of much of anything when it comes to mandates from the government. Feet. So no.
Well, the mask mandate is then it's just a blanket argument against any attempt from the government to.
That's part of it. Corona, yeah, right? That's a big part
and
of
it. I think you're allowed to have that opinion, for sure. But
I hope
so. Yeah, no, of course. But if you look at the government, what we've seen since Corona is that all governments have taken this as a reason to enforce their mandates on the
oh yeah
right, and you can absolutely believe that's for the good or the bad. That's I think just comes down to whatever person, but different countries are looking for different solutions, right? So here in Holland we've hardly done any of the mask, made only in the trains we've made it mandatory, the trains and the buses, but we've very strict on the social distancing. And I went to Turkey, Istanbul. And basically in Istanbul, you have so many people living in a city. There's so crowded, so many little alleyways. It's impossible to have social distancing there. So instead, they said, well, we'll do the mask. And it's exactly like you say, it's the proof is neither here or there. And I think the same with social distancing, you just don't know how many meters is enough. And if you put people in the same room, the virus will still circulate in the air.
I was not expecting to be outnumbered here, guys. Look,
No.
I'll let you finish your sentence before I tell you both while you're wrong. So.
I just think governments are trying to come up with solutions that they think is in their right to enforce on the public to stop it. And different countries make different decisions. And
I got two metaphors for you, right? One is about the efficiency of masks. And one is about the necessity for government rules. Okay? Like, there's a reason why surgeons in an operating room wear coverings over their faces. And you would want a surgeon wearing that. Both of you would. Quite simply, if you're in a crowded elevator and the guy in front of you isn't wearing a belt and his shorts slip down and he sharts, would you rather there be underwear in between you and him or not? Choose one. That's why we have masks.
Sure, I would
prefer
that, but I wouldn't want the state to mandate.
No one wants to be sharted on from the guy in front of them.
Of course not.
I mean, we mandate clothes as well. We mandate clothes in public as well for fairly good reasons.
You don't want to have naked running around naked. Yes.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Sure, but in your example, we don't mandate underwear, and I don't necessarily think that we need to.
Okay, but we wear clothes. Because it's reasonable.
Yes,
and you understand why masks work and why surgeons wear them for the same reason why a shart is a dangerous thing you should avoid.
Yeah, but I would say an operating room where you have an open cavity is very different than just walking around the grocery store, number one.
Disease, clearly not. And look, this experiment's been done a thousand times. Look at East Asia. That wear masks as a standard. Look at America that rebels against it every time.
And besides, I'm gonna break it down to what's actually important though. It doesn't matter how much it spreads. What matters is how many people it kills. And now we're seeing that only 6% in the United States of what they were calling coronavirus deaths had only corona. Every other one, 94%, had an underlying condition besides coronavirus.
Okay.
Which means it's statistically killing almost nobody.
No, that's not what it means.
6% is almost, that's
define
under
underlying
10,000.
Condition. Because if you did delve into it, which I have, underlying condition is things such as high blood pressure, which you'd be surprised how common it is. And if you look at it, despite this.
But it also includes stuff like stage 4 cancer.
Let me finish, right? Sure, but that's not the majority of people. And there's this conspiracy theory that for some reason, governments are intentionally wrecking their economies because obviously that's what every government in the world loves to do to win an election. Sure, maybe. But more likely, governments are actually suppressing the statistics. And when you go, there's an underlying condition, if you delve in there, it's not stage 4 cancer. It's 9 times out of 10, diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma. Now, we all know people with those conditions. And that is not, they were sick, fuck them. They should have died anyway. No, like an underlying condition is not a death sentence. If you have diabetes and you get eaten by a bear.
But it's also not anyone else's responsibility to protect them until it gets mandated. And that's where I have a problem. They shouldn't be mandating that I am concerned with somebody else's
health.
Let's
go on to that argument, right? The government mandates that you drive. We all drive on the same side of that road. Now, you can shout freedom and drive on the other side of the road, but you're not free to do that because it's a dick move. Like, that's not mandating, like, against your freedom. It's just, look, guys, people are dying. Less people
but
die
all
if man, do this.
All mandates are somewhere are somewhat against your freedom. They have to be. By definition, it's a mandate.
Sure.
Somehow it's telling you you have to do this or you can't do something that you could do before. So we'll just have to agree to disagree on the masks.
Let's disagree more. It's too easy to agree to disagree.
Agree.
If this was 100 years ago and someone wanted to lick a rat and the government was like, please stop licking rats. And you're like, no, I want to lick rats. Freedom. La, 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 la. No, it's nonsense. Guys, like, masks are a good idea.
You're right. The mandate is nonsense. Absolutely. The mandate is absolute nonsense.
What? No.
Yes. Yes, well, it is.
It's a strange America has more deaths than anyone, the most skeptical country. The best experiment ever is Scandinavia, right? Which always, God, right-wing talking heads love to talk about as a socialist dystopia. Scandinavia, right? 3 out of 4 of them went masks, social distancing, yes. 1 went, nah, sorry, we're skeptical. And so Sweden decided, no, sorry, we're not going to do that. We're not going to wear masks. Their numbers are through the roof. The proof is that this experiment has been run. And if you want a conspiracy theory, I have literally watched this because I grew up in Asia, right? So their masks are just a thing. If you have a cold, you wear a mask. They did it because of SARS. They did it because of MERS. They did it because of bird flu. They've just learned that wearing a mask kills the thing quicker, which is why mostly those countries have recovered and we're still fucked.
Because all right, Asia is a perfect example. Did they mandate the mask or is it just part of their culture?
Well, in China,
they mandated everything.
But what I'm getting at is for say having a cold, which they typically will wear a mask for a cold. Is there a mandate that if you have a cold, you need to wear a mask, or do they just do it out of some cultural politeness?
Well, this is the funny thing. First, they mandated it. And this leads on to the point I'm trying to make. Like, first, they mandated it. Then once they learned where it was working, where it wasn't, culture catches on. But that catching on is slow. I've watched this travel west, right? So you look in Europe 4 months ago, right? Europe was skeptical. And I was telling everyone, in Asia, everyone wears masks. And these pandemics, they die down really quickly because everyone just wears a mask and it's over in a month and then you're fine. And everyone's skeptical. And it was really funny. You want a conspiracy theory here? You want to top down the government fucking with us? I've literally seen when there's a shortage of masks, government go quiet on it and not have an opinion. And when there's enough masks, they're like, okay, what we failed to mention for the last 2 months is masks actually work. And I'm pretty sure right now, just as in Western Europe 3 months ago, there's not enough masks in America for everyone to wearing it, which is why they're fine for Dow to go. And when there is enough fucking masks, watch the story change. Okay, guys, now you can wear masks. It's fine.
That's always possible. I never put past the government shenanigans like that.
That's the conspiracy. Trust. And we watch this in Europe.
But
Germany, because Germany has manufacturing, the rest of Europe doesn't, right? Obvious exceptions, easy to disprove. Fight me in the comments. But
sure.
But Germany had so many masks, and then they just literally, like, tyrannical government stopped it from being exported. They were like, nope. All these countries ordering masks, they were like, nope, our masks. And then Germany said, okay, you must wear a mask. And then the numbers started going down.
Well, here's the other thing I would point out with a mandate, especially in the U.S. If it was a suggestion, I think more people would be fine with it and just voluntarily go along with it than if they mandated it. Kind of a flies with honey, flies with vinegar. You have to do it, or you should. We'd really like you to. You can argue how stupid that may be, but the delivery matters for the message.
Do you understand why I worry about America? You guys are like so proud that we're like, hey guys, this will stop you dying. And you're like, I can die if I want. And you're like, oh my God, this is what a declining empire sounds like. You guys are too proud. Like, I won't save my life unless you ask me nicely. You're like, okay. And like, to quote Pulp Fiction, pretty please, with sugar on top, wear a fucking mask. Like, oh my God.
I can see that. And I don't necessarily have an argument against that one.
I love you guys. I worry for you guys. I think if you had more masks, your government would be saying it nice, carrot and stick, sugar and honey and shit and all the things above. I think you have a shortage of masks, which is why the debate still rages on.
All right. Well, we have hit 1 hour.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
So
I had so much to get into. We need to do this again.
I know. We'll have to have you back, or I can come on your show, or vice versa.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
But I always like to end with letting our guests promote whatever they want to promote. So we'll start with you, Chris. Any website, social media, whatever you'd like to get out there?
I'd really like to promote talking with people that you don't necessarily agree with. And even if you don't like find common ground, not even try and persuade them, just have like we've had today, just an enjoyable conversation. Like for me, that's the most important thing. Honestly, God, the world needs more of it.
Yes, I agree.
We could all do with learning. We could all do with listening. So that's all I need to promote. Thank you so much.
All right, Marin, do you have anything you want to promote on your own or just the podcast in general?
No, certainly. Well, I'm not going to even mention our podcast. I don't want to do the self-promoting. What I would really want to do is promote a website called The Correspondent. And the reason for that is we were talking before about the news media having becoming clickbait. News is all about what is important, what is outrageous right now, what is the news of the day, what is the thing going on somewhere in the world today that we can get angry about and passionate about, and this is bad or this should be different. And what The Correspondent is trying to do, it comes from people that were in the media in the Netherlands, they've gone international. It's a crowdfunded website, so they do not take any money except from the people that give them money every month. And they write articles that are long studies. So it's something that has been investigated for a while. It sometimes is up to date with the current situation, but they try to be not the news of the day, but maybe more the news of the couple months or the last years. And it's qualitative articles.
All right. And is that what's the URL for that? The correspondent dot...
Let me just see, because... You can find them on Facebook as The Correspondent, but it's thecorrespondent.com, thecorrespondent.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. This has been Chris and Marin from the Beyond Binary Thinking podcast, and I encourage everybody to check that out. You've definitely gained a new fan in me. And like you said, Chris, just have conversations. You don't have to pick a side, or even if you do pick a side, argue it and remain friends like I hope we have today. So thank you guys for coming.
Thanks, mate. I hope we thank when it's possible much. I hope we get the chance to meet face to face and have a share a beer together. All right,
absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, guys,
thank you.
Yeah.
take care. Bye.
Nice fade, bro.
Thank you.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you totally screwed that one part up.
I did, yeah. That was Varg Vikernes, who should not be confused with Geert Wilders, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing all of those.
Right, so it doesn't even matter.
and Varg wasn't even Swedish. He's Norwegian.
Swing and a miss. Lane goes down.
So there you go. I'm sure Marin was like, this dumb fucking Yank. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know that Chris is worried about us over here in the United States, where we only have 6%, you know, from COVID. I'd just like to point out to him that if the virus was, you know, I'm just saying there's the homeless population in Colorado Springs right now is outrageous. And just by sheer numbers, they should all be dead.
They should, yes.
No social distancing.
Nope.
No, they're doing just fine.
Yep.
And
their dogs aren't even dying.
No. Like they got a little cold this weekend. You know, we had a little cold snap, but, you know, they're just kicking it.
Yep. That's it.
I drive by them, you know, coming to here and wave. Like, what up, guys? They're like, what up, man? Just is what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't see it. I don't see it. We have some suggestions from our fevered listeners.
Okay.
We always say we look forward to your letters. So uh-huh. Some of the hate mail that comes through and some of the Reddit posts I think are going to need to get read online. Have you seen the Steven Slate from Steven Slate Audio Files, his call to action?
No.
This is great. So he sells software,
right,
for music
and audio probably engineering, right?
Most famous being like Slate Drums, I would guess.
Most famous. Yeah. And that was one of the sales he was having, and they run those software guys run those sales for 2 weeks and try to bump numbers before the new release or as part of a new release, however their marketing is going right now. You guys know it's on a 3 week cycle. So there's gonna be a big sale for something if you're in the software, if you're purchasing any kind of software. It's like, oh, then this month only we're gonna do this. Apparently some dude named Chris, not this Chris, it might have been this Chris. That'd be pretty funny if it were. Wrote in and I wish I had the video, but Steve called him out because he says, you guys fucking suck. When, you know, you should take down the post because I clicked on it and it's already the third and it's not there anymore. And he says, well, the ads clearly say it's over
this date to this date. Yeah, right.
Clearly. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and extend that to everybody but you. Chris, you don't get shit. I was just like, yes.
Oh.
That's the way to run a company.
Wow. All right.
And he flexed on Chris so bad. It was great. So I think in the spirit of Steven Slate, we're going to start doing those.
Start reading.
All the stuff you get into. You know,
the shitty comments on Reddit.
All of them. They're going to be. And all the accusations. Apparently well, we're a.
Yeah, while this was playing, I was talking to Eric about. I find a lot of our guests on Reddit, a subreddit called the Podcast Guest Exchange. but as soon as I put anything about
the word man in it,
yeah, people try to argue right there about men's rights and men's issues and toxic masculinity and white privilege, which I'm not sure why that all of a sudden comes together. Obviously, like race is not the hill that we're choosing to die on. We're choosing to die on the gender hill.
Yeah, seriously. We've been called a lot of things.
So male privilege, throw that all. You can throw that as that.
We can argue that.
The white thing, that's not what we're. Nah. But, you know, everything, like they were saying, like Chris said, the tack seems to be, if you don't agree with the DNC, then you're a racist, bigot, chauvinist, homophobe, transphobe, Islamophobe.
Ridiculous.
All the phobes.
Whatever. The biggest reason I don't jump back at people about that stuff is because I'm very comfortable in my own circle of friends.
The other thing I love is we often get called a political podcast.
Have you ever seen our segment?
Where we cover politics.
Sort of. I mean,
and the only reason we're doing that right now is because it's an election cycle. Come November whatever-ith.
Sure.
Once the election is over, you probably won't see that segment again for at least 2 years, probably four.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because it won't matter.
It won't matter.
Either the same guy will keep doing the job, or, well, I should say this. We may keep covering it because if a lot of this mail-in ballot fuckery goes on, it could extend the time to when we know who the guy is going to be.
Yes.
But once we know the guy, whether it's going to keep being Orange Man Bad or Old Man Retarded, whoever's in there, we're
probably going to bash
on the that'll be the end of the politics for that cycle. So,
it's been bizarre. It's been a bizarre week as far as getting called crazy shit on the internet.
But I do want to give these guys a lot of credit. They within that subreddit were like, why are you arguing with this dude here? Why don't you just have him on your podcast and then shit all over him on your home turf, on your format.
Right, with all your fans. I would be very happy to join.
And, of course, there were several responses. I'm not going to give him a platform. Well, we already have a platform. So another one was, why would I need help from somebody that only gets 25 YouTube views per video or whatever? So they started shitting on the numbers that we get. And it's like, and the response to that was beautiful. I don't know if it was Chris or somebody else, was like, if you're posting to get guests on Reddit, you're not doing great on numbers with your podcast. Like, it's not like you're Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Didn't he get canceled too?
They've tried, but he just got signed to Spotify.
There you go.
$100 million, I believe, was the number.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah, it's an interesting world that we live in. There you go.
I'll fight some trolls.
Oh, out now. I posted about this. I was recently on the Inspired by Fire podcast. And I don't know if I've been able to talk to you about this yet. You were on the Taj LeBlanc podcast recently.
Yes, I was.
A couple weeks ago, I believe. I know I shared it and posted it, but I didn't get a chance to say, hey, that was awesome.
It wasn't bad, right?
It was cool.
It wasn't bad. We got a little long in the tooth, but we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen that, I would highly recommend it. Being on the other end of the other end of the computer is interesting and a lot of fun. So yeah, check out Taj's stuff. Next week we've got a friend of mine, Brian Swanson, from Denim and Pearls podcast. That's correct. Yes. Next week.
Yep.
And
next week.
He had a great podcast, or they had a great podcast. About the power of no. It's great.
I saw that title and I went, that sounds a lot like I don't care.
Yep. So that's what we're gonna argue the semantics of no and I don't care. The two philosophies in Man Tools. I think they're both Man Tools rules from the Man Tools Rules Tools bag from back in the day. No is a sentence.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Well, why? I don't care.
I recently was at a grocery store parking lot, and you know those, I don't know whether it's a survey or a poll or what the fuck ever, but you know, they're canvassing in the parking lot, and dude started walking up and I just went, no, and he went, fair enough.
Fair enough. No. Cool.
It's like,
see?
Nope.
He gets it. Well, let's wrap this train up, buddy, and put it in the stable. I'm mixing metaphors because Chris is... had his metaphors.
Railroad stable. Mine.
Just as cogent as his. We'd like to thank our sponsors, as always, EXO Autoworks and Harmonic Studios Madrid Maintenance. And thank you guys for watching. If you would like to get a hold of us for all things manly, go to mantoolsmedia.com, at mantoolsmedia on all the social media outlets. Our Patreon is patreon.com/mantoolsmedia. Patronages start around $2 a month. It's also been recently remodeled with new benefits, including our patron-only live streams.
We did the first one last week with comedian and host of New York City Crime Report, Pat Dixon. So check out part one on whatever the regular platform is you get us on, and then either become a patron or purchase it on Gumroad.
Which is at Gumroad.com/mantoolsmedia. That is for all of our premium and a la carte content. Last thing, but not the least thing, check out Trevor's shirt. You get that. Mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com.
Actually, you'll get a better one because this is from the previous merch.
They can't see it. It looks good on the screen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's falling apart.
I'm ordering. I actually did some stuff for Madrid Maintenance, so we're gonna get our official masks.
Oh yeah,
for Madrid Maintenance, so we can maliciously comply, and not scare.
And look like a team.
Well, we actually got a nice contract, and we got to go over to the old folks' homes again, like we did 2 years ago.
Cool.
So got to wear that mask because I don't want to get those little ladies sick or make them feel weird or any of that shit.
Because they're part of that 6%.
They are part of that 6%. I don't want to mess around with that. So, maliciously complying and, you know, doing it out of a sense of social justice. No, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Consciousness, maybe?
Yeah. A social conscience.
Awareness.
Awareness. But not because I've been mandated to. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching, listening, and or whatever you did while you were checking out Trevor do his interview thing. Hope you had fun with that. We'll see you next week. Same man time, same man channel.
Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.